Christopher Tolominski here for Metal Gear Central on the phone with Mr. Christopher Randolph, the voice of Otacon. How are you doing, Chris? I'm pretty good. What we're going to do is we're going to run down 20 questions here that you guys sent in, and Chris is going to answer for it.
Question one, where are you originally from and what was your education like?
I'm originally from Massachusetts. I was born and raised in Boston, suburban Boston. I went to school mostly on the East Coast. I went to prep school for high school, and then went to Boston University undergraduate and got a degree in English literature and writing. And then I went to graduate school out in California at the University of California, San Diego has a MFA program for acting. They have a professional theater training program. And so I spent 3 years there and got a master's degree in acting out there.
Second question, how did you become an actor? You already kind of answered that.
That's an interesting question. I mean, that started actually when I was very young. You know, it started in grade school. Started doing school plays, and there was just something about it that grabbed me, and I really loved it, and there really wasn't much question in my mind that that was what I was going to do from then on. Really starting around age 10 or 11, I just knew that that was what I was going to do. And that got me started, and then I did, you know, I did school plays all the way through my school career, and then went to graduate school where I actually trained to be an actor. And then it went from there.
Okay, next question. What are some other projects you've worked on?
Let's see. In terms of games, this is the only sort of game voice work that I've done. But, you know, I've done an awful lot of theater as an actor around the country. You know, I've worked in New York, and I've worked in San Diego, and I've worked in Los Angeles, and I've worked, you know, places like St. Louis and Rochester, and doing theater at various places. I've done a small amount of television. I have a small roles on Will and Grace, and small roles on News Radio, small roles on Mad About You, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've never done anything more than that, at least not yet.
Yeah.
I'd like to. And I've done some really, you know, independent short films and stuff that no one would ever have seen. that's about, you know, but it's mostly theater.
It must be cool to be able to travel around the country like that.
Yeah, it's fun. I mean, it's fun. It's, you know, it can get tiring and sometimes, you know, a little weird because you're not quite sure where your home base is anymore. But it's great. I enjoy it. I mean, I really like doing it, so...
How did you originally get the role for Metal Gear Solid?
That's a great question. When I was living in Los Angeles, I took a class in animation voiceover work to learn the techniques that an actor should use for doing cartoons, the voices for cartoons. Which is different than doing the voices for, like, commercials, you know, that...
Because you have to be in sync with the mouth.
It's a different technique. And so I took this class, and I had a really fun time, and there were two teachers in it. And one of them was this really extraordinary woman, Chris Zimmerman, who is the voice director on Metal Gear Solid, and is probably the principal reason that the voice acting work on Metal Gear is so good. She's just an extraordinary voice director. She was the one who called me in for the auditions for Metal Gear originally because she knew me from the class. And so I originally came in and read for Snake. It was actually very funny because I read Snake and I could see they put you in a booth and you're looking through the glass through the booth, and I could see there was this sort of discussion going on in the control room between the people from Konami and Chris.
Yeah.
And she came in and said, she said, look, here's another character, and she showed me the sketch of the character. Will you read this character? And the character was Otacon.
Yeah.
And I was wearing my glasses that day, And it was really funny because I really looked very similar to the character on the sketch, which is, I think, why they asked me to read it to begin with.
Yeah.
Just sheer coincidence. And so I read it and ended up getting it.
Oh, that's pretty lucky for you then.
Yeah, it was very lucky.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine another voice as Snake and another voice as Otacon. It's just...
Absolutely, I know. No, I know. Well, David Hayter is so owns that role. He's so great.
Yeah, he does. I'd like to hear that reverse, though. Otacon being the badass and Snake being the smart guy.
Yeah, it's very funny.
All right, next one.
Yeah.
Which game did you enjoy working on the most?
Boy, I've liked them all. I think I have a special fondness for the first one, I guess, because we didn't really know what we were getting into, you know? and there was, we were not, you know, now they have the money and the understanding, and they go to a really nice studio in L.A. and all that kind of stuff. But before we were in this, like, I mean, it was an okay studio, but it was sort of rickety, and, like, you could hear cars passing by, and we would have to stop, and there was something kind of communal about what we were doing that was really fun, and I think the work in that first one, I listened to it again recently, it was really extraordinary.
Yeah.
So I think I enjoyed that one the most.
Next one, what do you think of Otacon?
I like Otacon. I think he's great. I mean, I think it's very, very smart storytelling on the part of Mr. Kojima and his crew to balance out the strength and muscle and heroism of Snake with a character like Otacon,
yeah,
pretty much, you know, the brains to a certain degree, but is very quirky. I mean, you know, he's funny and I think very sensitive, and he's got his own brand of courage, even though in some ways he's sort of a coward. But I think, and I also think it's interesting to see how he and Snake, for that matter, have grown as characters from the first one to the second one, and I'm hoping there'll be a third one.
Yeah, there's a third one, but we have no clue about it yet. He says it's in the same season. It's odd.
Yeah. So I like Otacon a lot. I think he's, and I really enjoy playing him.
Can you relate to him at all?
Yes, I can. I can. I mean, I think, I don't know if it's possible to play a character that you can't relate to in some way or another. I mean, I am definitely not a computer geek the way he is. I really, you know, I know very little about that kind of thing. But I totally relate to him as a, you know, a sensitive human being who's trying to do the right thing and is wrestling with issues of life and love and family and you know, is has found a partner and is terribly loyal in this sort of project that he and Snake are involved in. You know, I relate to that very much.
And another question: how do you feel about him wetting himself?
I liked that scene. I thought that was very, very funny, and it was a very interesting way to sort of introduce the world to this character. You know, I think one of the things that makes Metal Gear such a great game is that there's humor in it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm all for that, you know? I think that's fine. I mean, and I think, in all probability, if I had been in the exact same situation as he was in that moment, I might well have done that too.
And I thought it was funny in the second one when you call Otacon when you're in the locker and he says we're even, and Snake goes, not unless I wet my pants.
Yeah, that's right.
That
yes.
was great.
I mean, again, really smart writing, you know, really smart storytelling on the part of our friends in Japan. It's really great stuff.
What do you think of Hideo Kojima's work? Have you ever met him?
I've never had the opportunity to meet him. I think his work is extraordinary. I mean, you know, again, as I was saying earlier, I think what's fascinating about it is he has managed to combine incredible technical ability with, you know, really good storytelling, really smart and interesting stories, which in the end is why you want to play a game. I mean, yeah, all the technical stuff is really important and is exciting when different things can happen and all that sort of thing. But you know, it's really about the story and the adventure of it. And
yes,
the fact that he's always pushing technical boundaries and yet at the same time can tell a great story, I just think he's fantastic. And I hope I get a chance to meet him someday. I'd really like to.
Just a comment on that. I played the game Splinter Cell, which is sort of a type of Metal Gear type game.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't get into it though because of the story. Because I mean, the gameplay was fine, but really the story was what drew me into the Metal Gear series. That's why I became such a fan.
Yeah, yeah. No, I really think that that's true, and I I think it's great that he and his team care enough about what they're doing to try and tell an interesting, deep, and involved story. I really think that's great, you know.
Yeah. Next one.
Yeah.
Do you think the Metal Gear series would make a good film?
Yeah. I mean, I think so. I think all of us, actually, when we were doing the last one, we were sort of talking about that, and I think it could make a wonderful film.
Yeah.
Again, it's simply about getting a good story together, but I think that's entirely possible, and I think that would be really exciting. I don't know if they would want to do it as live action or if they would do it as, animation. I have no idea what would work. But I think there's so much, there's such possibilities for a wonderful plot and adventure and story. I think it'd make a fabulous film.
Yeah. Who would you cast in the role of Otacon besides yourself,
probably? Besides myself? I don't know. I mean, I think you need... there are a lot of ways you could go with it. I mean, you think about, I don't know, I'm trying to think of people who are on television in similar positions. Like, there's that guy who plays a certain role in Alias, which I'm not totally into, but
the guy who
plays a sort of geeky, nerdy computer guy. I think for a film, though, you'd need somebody with a little more stature. And I'm not sure who I would want to cast, other than myself, of course. I think, you could go a bunch of different ways. I mean, you could do someone like Seth Green, or you could go... you could make him more, I don't know, more handsome and studly than he is, I suppose.
Yeah, that would take away from the character.
Yeah, I mean... I think the only thing that I think is important if they do it as a film is that they allow for him to be as full a character as he is in the game. You know, a lot going on with him.
Yeah. How would you describe the experience of doing the voiceover work for the Metal Gear series?
It's very intense. It's very exciting. As an actor, I find it to be really kind of liberating because it's all about the sound. It has nothing to do with how you look.
Yeah.
So, you don't have to shave or shower or put on makeup or, it's really just what's in your voice. And, you can make funny faces and all that kind of stuff and no one cares or knows. But it's very intense. There's a real intensity to it. To try and get it going. I mean, and it can be really tiring. I know when we did the second game, there was one day where it was just me in the booth for 9 hours. There was no one else was called.
Probably for the codec calls, right?
Yeah. I mean, I was talking for 9 hours. Yeah, it was a lot of the codec. And there was other stuff, too. Sometimes you have to act without the other actor in the room, just because of the way they put it together.
Nine hours. Wow.
Yeah, nine hours of talking. By the end, I was really wiped out.
Did you have to do any more dialogue, or?
Yeah, there was more the next day. I had to come back for another day.
Ooh.
So I went home and.
They really work you there, huh?
Yeah, they do. Well, they try and get it done. They try and do it as efficiently as possible. I think after about 8.5 hours, as I recall, the last few things we did that day we had to do again because I just didn't. Just wasn't there. I mean, you get a little blurry-eyed after a while.
Huh.
But it's really fun. I really like doing it, and it's intense and fun work. It's great.
How long did it take to finish all the voice work for each game?
Good question. Well, we, I think the standard, it took them 2 weeks to do the first game for everybody, but I was not working for that full 2 weeks. I think David Hayter probably was.
Yeah.
For me, it was 4 days. I think I did 4 days on the first one. The second one, they got a little more efficient with it, and I think they used me for 3 days. But again, I think they had a 10-day to 2-week sort of schedule to get everybody done. The scripts are, 900 pages long. So there's a lot to cover and to keep track of. So I think in general they block out 2 weeks and do it within that time frame, and then each actor only comes in for a certain amount of time. Obviously, David is there for the longest time,
and Quentin too.
Yeah, and Quentin, yes, well, of course, Quentin on the second one also was in there for a long time.
I talked to them about the grunts.
Yeah,
that must be fun.
Yeah, all the noises and all of that stuff is really a lot of fun.
Yeah. Was it difficult for you to do emotional scenes such as the deaths of Emma and Sniper Wolf?
That's a great question. I mean, yes, to a certain extent it was difficult because, the way that they time things out there, like with Emma's death particularly, we had to record a lot of my crying. It was like 2 or 3 minutes of it, which really is a very, very long time. I don't know if they used that full amount of time, but there was a lot of time there. And it's pretty stressful. I mean, you want it to be as real as possible, so you try to put yourself in that position as best you can. It's tricky. It was hard, actually. It was hard. I mean, I think that and that part and then some of the technical speak lines where it's just hard to say them, the word, the way the words,
What about all the proverbs you had to say?
Yeah, that was fun, though. I really loved doing the proverbs. That was a really fun time because they're funny, I had people cracking up in the booth, which I really enjoyed. That made me feel really good. it was difficult doing those emotional scenes.
Did you did one wrong, and when Mei Ling interrupted you, was she in the studio with you or?
Boy, that's a good question. Now I don't know as I remember. I think yes. No, that's right. She did come that day.
Yeah.
She did come that day.
That's the only line.
There were times when she wasn't there, but then there were other times when, there was that time when she was there. And she's fun. She's a lovely actress, so we had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Next question, have you played the games?
I have played the first game and enjoyed it very much. I have the second game, but I don't have a PS2. I keep waiting for the price to come down a little bit more. I'm really looking forward to playing it. My brother-in-law has played them all multiple times and loves them. And I have many friends who have played them. In fact, I actually loaned the second game to a friend who has a PS2. I think I just saw somewhere that the PS2 prices have come way down. So I think I may have to go out and get one. And,
I think they're down like 180.
And play the game. I have to say, I'm not very good at playing the game. It's funny how generational it is. I didn't grow up with these games. My brother is 10 years younger than me, and he did grow up with sort of rudimentary computer games and all that kind of thing, and he's really good at it. I'm not as good with the fingers. If I practice a lot, I can get it, but I usually have to use the cheater's book.
Did you beat the first game?
Yes, I did. I did. I mean, so having known the plot and stuff, I knew some of the tricks and all that kind of stuff. But I did. I did actually manage to make it through to the end there and kept Meryl alive and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was difficult.
Yeah.
Button pressing.
Yeah. A lot of button pressing.
Okay, next question. Do you have any favorite lines of vodka?
I think, you know, for me, the Proverbs I really enjoyed with Mei Ling. That was really fun. But I also really like it when, you know, Snake and Otacon have this kind of snippy exchange every now and then. I really enjoy that because I think it illustrates both of their characters individually and then the relationship between them, which is, I think, one of the great things about the game that they've set up. So I really like, you know, I like the fact that Otacon can get kind of snippy with Snake and, you know, sort of, what are you doing? Why are you, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Really like doing that.
Yeah. The, especially when Snake's gawking at the girly pictures on the
table. Yes, yes, exactly. It's that kind of thing where Otacon sort of verbally slaps him, you know, and tries to wake him up and keep him focused. I enjoy doing that a lot.
But he does the exact opposite when you send him one. He makes a copy of it.
Yes.
Next question. What do you think of your co-stars?
I think they're fabulous. I mean, you know, David Hayter is the one I've spent the most time in the booth with, and he's a great guy and really smart, and you know, incredibly successful. I mean, he's a very successful screenwriter, and I think at the moment he's directing his own feature. I think.
Yeah, he told me he was directing some movie about a comic book. I can't remember the name of it right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the last time I saw him, he mentioned that he was doing that. I think that's all really exciting. And he's a really good guy. And, you know, the other people that I've encountered, some of whom I knew before, they're wonderful. And, you know, the proof is in the results. I mean, it's really good voice acting all the way through. I mean, my experience. So I admire and respect them a lot.
I have a question. Was the character Naomi in the first game, was she voiced by Jennifer Hale or someone else?
I think it probably was Jennifer Hale. I'm trying to remember. I think it probably was Jennifer Hale.
Yeah, because it was a different name, and I heard somewhere that it was her, and I heard another place it wasn't her, so...
Yeah.
Confusing with the aliases, like yours, Christopher Fritz.
Yeah. Some of us used aliases in the first game for technical reasons having to do with unions.
Yeah, that's what Greg told me.
That all got ironed out, and so we don't have to do that anymore, which is great.
Yeah. Next question. How long have you worked as an actor?
How long have I worked as an actor? As a professional actor, since 1985, which is when I got out of graduate school. So what's that? That's 19 years, 18 years.
You're pretty...
But before that, you know, there were for 10 years before that, at least I knew that it was what I was going to do, and I wasn't necessarily getting paid for it, but I was doing it, so...
I'd like to get into voice acting, but I don't have a very good voice.
Well, you know, that kind of thing is something you can learn. I mean, you know, a lot of... You can take classes to learn how to produce your voice in a different kind of a way, and all that kind of stuff can be learned. I mean, it's not, you don't necessarily have to automatically do it, you know, without learning.
Next question. What are some of your interests and hobbies?
Boy, let's see. I love to cook. I'm a runner. I'm trying to decide if I'm going to run the New York Marathon this year or not. I haven't really trained, so I think maybe I won't be doing it since it's in 2 weeks.
Have you run it before?
I have run it before. I ran it in 1999.
Cool.
I don't know what else to say, really. I'm writing, you know, I'm working on a screenplay of my own, and... actually, two screenplays. I have a short and another feature that I'm working on. So, really, that, you know, I guess that's the most things I can come up with. I spend a lot of time looking for acting work and then trying to go and do it. I also teach.
What do you teach? English?
Teaching acting.
Oh, acting.
So that's another thing. So between all of those things, I'm kept relatively busy.
As far as acting goes, what are your plans for the near future?
Boy, to do more of it. there are a couple of theater projects that are I'm waiting to hear about. I'm also trying to do more television and film. I'm trying to work my way onto, the stuff. I'm now living in New York, so I'm trying to get onto some of the shows that work here in New York, like the Law and Orders or Third Watch or those things.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also, as I said, I teach. I'm developing my teaching a little bit. I'm doing some work at a place here that's working with some master teachers, learning how to better approach that.
Yeah.
But really, my I don't have anything specifically lined up right now, but, I might hear something tomorrow about a theater project that I would be doing in December and January. So that's what's up.
Yeah. Well, that's about it, guys. Thank you very much, Mr. Randolph. And it's truly been an honor, and I'm very happy that you let me speak with you for this amount of time.
Well, thank you. I really enjoyed it, and I'm happy there's such an interest in the game,
Yeah.
And we're all looking forward to a third one, so let's keep our fingers crossed on that.
Any messages you have for any fans of yours out there?
Stay with the mission. I don't know. You guys are cool, and thank you. Thank you for being so interested in it.
Thank you.